ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो यजद्राजसूयेन विजित्य भुवनत्रयम् पत्नीं बृहस्पतेर्दर्पात् तारां नामा हरद्बला। सो ट्रांसलेशन। After conquering the three worlds, the upper, middle and lower planetary systems, Soma, the moon god, performed a great sacrifice known as the Rajasu Yajna. Because he was very much puffed up, he forcibly kidnapped Brihaspati's wife, whose name was Tara. Text 5. Yada sadeva guruna yachito bhikshanasho madat natyajatatkrutte jadne suradanava vigraha. Although requested again and again by Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, Soma did not return Tara. This was due to his false pride. Consequently, a fight ensued between the demigods and the demons. Shukro Brihaspatir Dveshad Grahit Sasuro Dubam Haro Guru Sutam Snehat Sarvabhuta Gana Vritaha. Because of enmity between Brihaspati and Shukra, Shukra took the side of the moon god and was joined by the demons. But Lord Shiva, because of affection for the son of his spiritual master, joined the side of Brihaspati and was accompanied by all the ghosts and hobgoblins. Purport. The moon god is one of the demigods, but to fight against the other demigods, he took the assistance of the demons. Shukra, being an enemy of Brihaspati, also joined the moon god to retaliate in wrath against Brihaspati. To counteract this situation, Lord Shiva, who was affectionate towards Brihaspati, joined Brihaspati. The father of Brihaspati was Angira, from whom Lord Shiva had received knowledge. Therefore, Lord Shiva had some affection for Brihaspati and joined his side in this fight. Sridhar Swami remarks, Angirasah sakashat prapta vidyo hara iti prasiddha. Lord Shiva is well known to have received knowledge from Angira. Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you for this Sunday morning class. We are very grateful that all of you have come here to associate with each other and extend your association to all of us. We are reading today from Canto 9, Chapter 14, entitled King Pururava Enchanted by Urvasi, text number 4, 5 and 6. Very interesting chapter. Love story, King Pururava with Urvasi. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of various kinds of rasas. Everything is there. And here, in today's three verses, we are seeing how the moon dynasty began, the Soma Vamsha, in India and all over the world. The Kshatriyas are divided into Surya Vamsha and Soma Vamsha. Lord Ram appeared in Surya Vamsha. We are beginning with Ikshvaku, Vivaswan and Ikshvaku. And Lord Krishna appeared in Soma Vamsha. So it's a great personality. Soma is a great personality. Because Lord Krishna took birth in this Vamsha. And here we can see that Soma's origin is directly from highly elevated soul, Atri Muni. In some other kalpa, he is directly born from Vishnu. So very highly exalted personality, directly in touch with the Lord. But even such a personality, when he is a victim of false pride, Srila Prabhupada specifically translates this word, madaha, as false pride. And this is an often discussed topic amongst the devotees. In fact, we will see sincere devotees are always talking about this topic, the false pride. And no matter how much you discuss, it is always less. So very, very intricate topic. And this false pride is like a number one enemy for a devotee. Because it can make you do anything. Soma, as exalted as he is, if you see his actions, he's stealing somebody else's wife. And who's that somebody else? He's not some ordinary personality. He is a spiritual master of all the demigods, and he is himself a demigod. Not only he steals, Brihaspati is ready to forgive him. Please give back my wife. He is refusing. So this is what happens when there is power. He is very strong. He is here described as completing Rajashu Yajna. He has conquered all the three worlds. So when the power comes, you get corrupted with this false pride. So since Prabhupada is talking of false pride, there must be some true pride. And we can see this. In his own case, Srila Prabhupada's case, when he speaks and devotees ask him, why Lord Chaitanya did not himself spread the mission all over the world? So he very quietly said, because he wanted me to do it. Now somebody will say, these are boastful words. He's very arrogant. Then at other time, some disciples asked him, Prabhupada, you say that so much qualification is necessary to just come to devotional service. What was our qualification? We are so fallen. We are addicted to drugs, sex, unclean eating habits, all sorts of whatever you can imagine, everything was going on in their life. And still we came to devotional service. What was our qualification? Again, Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. I created your qualification. Again, somebody may think these are very boastful words. But then at other times, we can see Srila Prabhupada, he's standing in front of the deities, intently praying. You can see on his face. And the devotees are watching. What is he praying? Very, very curiously they ask, Prabhupada, what were you praying? And with extreme humility, Srila Prabhupada replied, I was pleading with the Lord that please protect me from Maya. And the same personality, one who is praying like this, he writes to his disciple. When the disciple wrote, Prabhupada, I am trying to follow your instructions, but this Mr. Lust is troubling me like anything. What can I do? So he wrote back, just continue your devotional service and be happy. As far as Mr. Lust is concerned, I will kick him on his head with my boots. So this is again. At another time, he is telling all his disciples, "You are so wonderful. My spiritual master has sent you to me. Whatever is seen here, whatever I am doing, it is only because of my spiritual master. And because all of you are so good, and even though I am so bad, in your association I am also good." So you can see, this is the symptom of the true pride. Tukaram, famous saint of Maharashtra, he sings. He says, "Avghaji sansara sukhaja karinam." I will make the whole world happy. Anande bharina tini loka. I will fill all the three planetary systems with ananda. Somebody says, "What is this? Boastful words." Then again he says, "Vedans artha amisa janava." I know what is Vedas. Itarani vahava bharamatha. Others may carry big burden of knowledge, but I know what is the true meaning of Vedas. Now these words, these are the words of true pride. What is that pride? I am the servant of the Lord, and on His behalf I am doing something. So it's an amazing concept. In fact, all our devotional life is nothing but a journey from the point of beginning of false pride to the true pride. We come from this end and go to the end point, that is true pride. So a journey between these two points, that is our whole devotional life. Of course, in the beginning stages, a devotee may not understand how dangerous this pride is. As years go by, slowly you understand, "Oh, previously," I remember when I was just new devotee, 1986, I had all this list of 26 qualities of Vaishnavas. I thought most of them are covered already. But then one day, I was thinking, how to feel this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, "Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi sahishnana." Now, okay, it's nice to feel very humble and tolerant. But how can I feel lower than a person who is eating so much meat and he's engaged in so much illicit activities? How can I feel lower than him? Forget about him. How can I feel lower than the blade of grass? Something is wrong. I think I need to resolve this. This is a small point. I will resolve it and that's the end of it. I must resolve this. So immediately, that time, respected spiritual master Radhanath Swami was very, very much available to us. So I took a bus from the hospital, came to Seaface Park where he was staying, and shot my question that, "Maharaj, you know, this particular shloka is disturbing me. I mean, this is a good sentiment, but how to practice it? It's impossible to feel lower than blade of grass, impossible to feel lower than these people who are eating meat, drinking wine. It's impossible. I'm a devotee, I'm chanting." Maharaj said, very wonderfully, he said, "You don't have to artificially feel it. It's a natural quality of the soul. When the soul is purified, he automatically feels like that. But at this point of time, because you are not at that level, you are a sadhaka, just chant very sincerely. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And whenever you get thought that you are becoming proud, puffed up, with all your strength, hate it and throw it out of your heart. So I understood to some degree. And then slowly I understood that actually how to detect it. So problem is, it is so subtle. For hating it, first you have to identify it. Now identification itself is a big problem. It's everywhere but you can't see him. It's just filled but cannot pinpoint. So it became such a difficult struggle over years. Ultimately I gave up. Understood best is to just chant Hare Krishna. And one day again I was feeling very frustrated. I was not enjoying devotional life. I was enjoying it in one sense, but internally somewhere I felt that this pride is troubling me too much. I was in Mayapur and devotees are dancing. I was also dancing. But still I was feeling, no, this pride is too much. I went and stood in front of Panchatattva and started praying. What is this? This is so much troubling me, I cannot enjoy my devotional life. It's making me miserable. And the answer came, you fool. Just be grateful. You got such a fantastic process. You are already there, don't bother about all these feelings. So again with that, I went to Jananivas Prabhu. I asked him, Prabhu, this is what is happening, this is what I'm getting the answers. So he said, he gave a wonderful explanation. He said, the munis, they try their best. They sit in lotus position, years and years, do such horrible tapasya. And in spite of that, millions of years they can pass on like this. And they cannot even see the light or the rays emanating from the toenail of Lord Sri Krishna. So what can you do on your own? Just can't do anything. Just give it up. Just be happy. You've got such a wonderful process. Be grateful. Leave it. What you feel doesn't matter. Just live like a very wonderful, happy servant of Krishna. And one day you'll wake up in the spiritual world with that identity. Right now, it might appear like an imposition on you. Because you may not feel anything. So this is the way we can look at the pride, which is the number one enemy. And particularly when we get this kind of powers, like Soma, then naturally, you cannot hear anyone. You cannot hear the Lord from within. You cannot hear the devotees. You cannot hear from anyone any good advice. So here, Brihaspati is telling him, forget it now, give back my wife. He is not interested. Why? Because of false pride. So this false pride, the more we struggle with false pride on our own, the more it becomes difficult. Because it is the instrument of the illusory energy of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna's energy is as powerful as Krishna. Daivihi esha gunamavai. She is Daivi. She is directly emanating from the Lord. So she has all the powers of the Lord. So who are we and you and me to fight with such a power? And pride is just one tool in her hand. She has several tools. Pride is one of the tools. And this pride comes by our ahankara, that is bodily identification. But as long as we are considering this is me, this body is mine, aham mameti, these people are mine, this is my family, my nation, my community. As long as that I is very strong, this pride will always remain in our heart. And this pride, again, gives birth to many anarthas. Anger, greed, everything emanates from this pride. Just as Krishna takes birth in a prideless heart, all the anarthas take birth in a prideful heart. The heart is full of pride, every anartha will come there. As soon as the heart is prideless, Krishna will take birth. So we can imagine, we have to, how strong this enemy is. We have to really do everything possible within our capacity to combat with this enemy. And the best way is, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Shri Krishna is concluding, the concluding words in the 18th chapter, he is telling Arjun that who can come to me, who can attempt to be self-realized. So he says, one who has given up this false pride, bodily identification, greed, and one who is equipoised in all this honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, he can attempt, he can come to the Brahma Bhuta platform, he can attempt self-realization. So how do we do all these things? How do we get rid of false pride? So he says, with purified intelligence, Vishuddhaya Buddhi. When your intelligence is purified, then you can combat this enemy. What is that intelligence, purified intelligence? The purification comes in contact with knowledge which is coming from the Supreme Lord in the form of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And through that purification, through that intelligence, then we can understand, we can see this enemy properly. And then we can deal with it. So purified intelligence also means we take shelter of the spiritual master. Because again, our intelligence is polluted. But when the spiritual master gives guidance, he is given guidance through the agency of Guru Parampara. So pure knowledge is coming to us. And when we follow their instructions, then naturally, you are automatically there, whether you realize or you don't realize it. Orders of the spiritual master, if they are followed properly, then whatever we are doing on his order is pure devotional service. So we may not be pure devotees, we may not be prideless devotees, but because we are doing the service on their behalf, our service is counted as pure devotional service. Even though we are impure, even though we are at this stage not reached that state of true pride, we are still in the state of false pride. So today is Sripad Ramanujacharya's disappearance day, and we can take some episodes from his life to understand this particular principle of how to act on behalf of the spiritual master and how to act pridelessly. So we'll share some wonderful episodes. I'm unqualified to speak about it, but still, whatever the acharyas have said, we can repeat it. Sripad Ramanujacharya, he was a son of Kantimati and Keshavacharya, pure-hearted Brahmin couple, in the village of Bhutapuri, which was just on the outskirts of Kanchipuram. And he was born in 1017 AD. From his birth time, people could realize that he has such fantastic, wonderful features of his body. All auspicious signs were there in his body. He's a very beautiful child. And when he grew, his beauty was enhanced by his good qualities, his gentle behavior, humility. And he was a genius. He could remember anything, even once heard. Not only was he genius, he had a natural devotion. he did not have to go to school for that devotion. It was already there. There are many episodes where just naturally he was unable to hear anything which was spoken on based on Mayavad principles. He couldn't just take it. And whether it was his guru or whether anyone else was there, he would immediately retaliate. But even though he retaliated as a devotee, in his behavior he was always gentle and humble. One day, when he was returning from the school, he had joined the school of Yadav Prakash, who was a Mayavadi teacher. When he was returning from the school, there was a great devotee. His name was Kanjipurna. So he would every day worship Lord Varadraj and also go to a nearby village. And on the way was the house of Ramanujacharya. And when Ramanujacharya one day met him, he invited him, "Please come. Come and take prasad at my house." And when he served prasadam, both were attracted to each other. Kanchipurna was so happy with his gentle behavior and natural devotion. After feeding him, started massaging his feet. So immediately, Kanchipurna withdrew his feet. He said, "You cannot do this. I am from a Shudra caste and you are an exalted Brahmin. How this is allowed? This is not possible. I cannot take service from you." And there Ramanujacharya, first time he spoke, he said, "If my birth as a Brahmin is coming in the way of service to such a great Vaishnava as yourself, then it is most inauspicious. My birth is most inauspicious. This thread, Brahmin thread, is most inauspicious. Just because it is coming in the way of service to a devotee like you. In fact, a wonderful devotee who is directly able to talk to Varadraj, you are the greatest Brahmin." And there Kanchipurna understood what is the exalted character of Ramanujacharya. Most of you have attended the South India Yatra. You might have heard many stories about Ramanujacharya. So we'll talk about some stories of his disciples. How they looked at themselves. One of his first disciples after he took sannyas was Kuresh. And Kuresh was known as Kuresh because he was the landlord of a village called as Kura. Huge village with big lands, and he was so wealthy. He was from a Brahmin family and at the same time so charitable that every day from early morning till late night he would continue to give charity daily. Many people, poor people, beggars, anyone can come and take charity from him, and till late in the evening this would go on. And late night the gates would close and he would take little rest just to freshen up himself and next day do again the same thing. So one day when Kanchipurna was worshipping Lord Varadraj and Lakshmi, so it was late in the evening, very late, and the Lakshmi heard this sound, a funny sound like a conch shell. So she asked, "What is this sound?" And Kanchipurna said, "This is the sound of closing gates of Kuresh." So who is this Kuresh? Said, "He gives charity from early morning till late evening. Now this is the last person has gone. Now he is closing his gates. So you are hearing the sound of these gates." So Lakshmi was very impressed. She said, "Call him. I want to meet him." So next day, Kanchipurna goes and tells Kuresh that Lakshmi wants to see you. Now imagine anyone of us gets this invitation from Srimati Radharani, Radha Gopinath, somebody. Pujari says, you are invited. We'll run. But what was Kuresh's thought? He said, I cannot refuse to meet the concert of Lord Narayan. She is calling me. But I am so polluted. I am so mean-minded. I am so greedy. I am so lusty. How can I take this impure body in front of her? Let me go back. I'll come some other time. I will go to my Guru and purify myself in His service, and by His mercy, when He allows me, I'll come back to Lakshmi. And same night, he packed up everything. He gave this whole thing to somebody else. He and his wife, they wore simple clothes and started walking towards Srirangam. And when they came to Srirangam, they started begging food. One who was the Lord yesterday, he was giving food to everyone, had to beg from door to door. But he was very happy. So such is the character which exemplifies this pridelessness. For him, his only qualification was that if my spiritual master is happy with me, then I am qualified. Once the same person, Kuresh, because he was very famous, at one point of time, Srirangam temple had guards on the gate. And the king, Kolatunga, he was a Shaivite, so he wanted everyone to worship Lord Shiva. So he had actually pushed away Ramanujacharya and everyone out of Srirangam. And the guards were standing there. No one was allowed to enter the temple. But when Kuresh came, particularly Ramanujacharya's disciples were not allowed. So once Kuresh and one more friend of his, they went for darshan of Sri Ranganath. And the guard stopped them. So another guard said, don't you know who is this? This is Kuresh, a very famous personality. You should allow him. So immediately the guard said, okay, you cannot come in, you can come in. So Kuresh was allowed. Again, what did Kuresh say? He said, if Ramanujacharya is not allowed, if his other disciples are not allowed, who am I to enter? I will not enter. Because my only qualification is that I am Ramanujacharya's disciple. Any quality if I have, anything I have done, is only because of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Yatiraj, he is my spiritual master. So this is pridelessness. That means anything I have, my ability, my body, my wealth, everything, it simply belongs to the Lord and His representative. Then third time, this particular king, he wanted to kill Ramanujacharya because he was very powerful. He was preaching the Vaishnava tradition. So he wanted to kill him, and the guards came, the soldiers came to arrest him. At that time, Kuresh told Ramanujacharya that you go, I will dress like a sannyasi and you dress as a grihastha. So in this way, Ramanujacharya left the temple and they caught Kuresh and Mahapurna, who were sannyasis. They looked like sannyasis. And then the king's atrocities were limitless. He plucked their eyes out. He plucked out the eyes. Mahapurna died in this episode. And Kuresh somehow survived. But when Ramanujacharya came to know about this, he was very, very sad. But Ramanujacharya understood greatness of Kuresh. And he wanted that Kuresh gets back his vision. So he sent a message to Kuresh that you go to Varadraj and just pray that your eyes should come and they will come. So Kuresh went to Varadraj and started praying. And Varadraj, by the influence of Ramanujacharya's message and Kuresh's devotion, he was immediately pleased. He said, "What do you want?" So he said, "Please forgive those people who plucked out my eyes." And he came out. Varadraj, he was happy. He said, "Okay, I grant you this." And Ramanujacharya asked, "What happened? Did Kuresh get back his eyes?" He said, "No." "So what did he pray?" "He prayed like this." So he sent him again. "You go back again, ask for something else. Ask for your eyes back." Again he goes. And he prays to Varadraj. Varadraj is happy. He says, "What do you want, my child?" He says, "Please forgive this envious Brahmana, Chaturgrama. He is the one who plotted. He is the one who was... He has been giving this advice to the king to kill Ramanujacharya. Please forgive him and give him devotion." Varadraj said, "Granted." Comes out again with blind eyes. Ramanujacharya gets again the same message that he is still blind. At that time, Ramanujacharya says, "Kuresh, you are very selfish. You think you are a great devotee, but you are very selfish. Your body and your mind is my property. You have already given it to me. Why you are not doing this, what I am telling you? I want my property back. So go to Varadraj." And Kuresh, that time, then he goes in this new consciousness. He is very happy that at last Ramanujacharya has accepted me as his property. So he goes to Varadraj and says, "My lord, my spiritual master gave me some property, two beautiful jewels, my eyes. I have lost them. Please give them back to me." So at that time, Varadraj granted this boon and he started seeing again. So even though he had full rights, the order was there, still out of his humility, he was not able to ask. He was just asking for others. But as soon as he was told that it is his guru's property, for guru he is ready to do anything. This is true pridelessness. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur and the architects, they were designing the whole Mayapur project. And they would come every day with very nice drawings about Srila Prabhupada's quarters. So they would say, "Prabhupada, this is where you will stay. These are your quarters." And Prabhupada would just look at it and he would discard it. And then he would start looking at the temple project. So it happened 2-3 times that whatever they brought, beautiful drawings, he just discarded them. So they did not understand, "What is wrong with these drawings? They are beautiful drawings. It's Prabhupada's ashram. Why he can't say yes or no, just discards them?" Then somebody was very intelligent, he said, "Okay, today we will change our strategy." So they took the same drawings. And they said, "Prabhupada, this is Krishna's temple, this is Panchatattva temple. And this we want to do it for the devotee of the Lord. The Lord's devotee should have a nice place to stay." So immediately Prabhupada started looking at it. "Yes, yes, this is okay." So his identification was not himself. It was only that I am Krishna's man. I am the man of my spiritual master. That is my identity. There is no other identity. This is true pridelessness. So this was very much exemplified by the Acharyas and Ramanujacharya's disciples. There was another disciple. His name was Dhanurdas. All of you must have heard this story. He was so attracted to his wife Not, she was not even his wife that time. That when the procession, Lord Ranganath came out of the temple, and there were elephants, and there were horses, and chariots, and hundreds of brahmanas chanting, the ladies, kumaris, everyone. It's a real royal procession, and everyone is wondering, what is this procession? And they're waiting for Lakshmi and Ranganath to come out. And everyone is chanting, and so much of, you know, noise is going on. But there was one person who was completely oblivious to all these things. And he was just busy holding umbrella with the left hand and with the right hand fanning a lady and constantly looking at her. He was not even, people were joking about him. Who is this fool? What is he doing? Lord Ranganath is here. But he was stepping on people's feet and trying to make way for her, fanning her. And when Ramanujacharya saw this, he was on the opposite side of the road. He told one of his disciples, go and call that man. So he was called. So he said, okay, you wait here. She made the lady comfortable, immediately went to the other side and asked, yes, my lord, what can I do for you? What service can I render to you? So Ramanujacharya said, do you know that people are joking about you? Huh? You are looking only at that lady and the whole procession is going on. People are chanting, people are jubilant, and you are not even bothered about all these things. And people are making a fool out of you. Are you not ashamed? What are you doing? So he said, actually, I am from a neighboring village. I am a Kshatriya, I am a Palwan. He has a very handsome body. And I have never seen such beautiful eyes as this lady. In fact, she is not even my wife. She is a prostitute. But because these eyes are so beautiful, I just can't take off my eyes from there. And I am fanning her and I am keeping umbrella in front of her. So Ramanujacharya understood his condition and he said, if I show you more beautiful eyes than hers, will you give up all this nonsense? He said, yes. So come tomorrow morning. So next day, Dhanurdas went. And Ramanujacharya, he took him inside, straight to Sri Ranganath. And the aarti was going on. And the lamp was being shown slowly from the feet towards the face of the Lord. And when the eyes, beautiful eyes of Sri Ranganath, they started shining with Ramanujacharya's mercy, he could realize these are the most beautiful eyes. So immediately he surrendered. He said, I can do anything for these eyes. And today you have saved me from where, what a hellish condition of my life. So Ramanujacharya immediately says, okay, go back and tell that lady that from today onwards, you will have different set of eyes to worship. So he goes back. But the lady was also very faithful to him. She married him. And both of them became disciples of Ramanujacharya. Now they are from ordinary family. And Sripad Ramanujacharya, hundreds and thousands of very pure Brahmana disciples. And in spite of this, when Ramanujacharya would go to Kaveri to take bath, while going, when he has not taken bath, he would hold the hand of Dasharathi, who was a pure Brahmin. After taking bath, getting purified, while coming back, he would hold hand of Dhanurdas. So people were wondering, what is this? In an impure state, he is touching the Brahmin. In the pure state, he is touching a lower caste. And all the time he would spend with Dhanurdas, they would talk to each other. And he was doing menial service to Sri Ramanujacharya. So one day, seeing all this confusion in the minds of his disciples, Ramanujacharya got up early in the morning, went to the area where people dry their dhotis and tore some of the dhotis and did some mischief there. And when they took bath and came out to wear dhotis, the dhotis were short, dhotis were torn, so they started fighting with each other. Who did it? So there was so much fight between the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Then he called all of them, he said, don't fight, I have to tell you something. This Dhanurdas is not very, he's quite attached to his wife and wealth and everything. Today I am going to teach him a lesson. And everyone is, yes, yes, we must teach him a lesson, yes. Because they are already thinking that how, why is getting so much mercy? So Ramanujacharya said, I am going to engage him in some, I will tell him some stories, some philosophical discussion will be there. I will keep him till late in the night. You go to his house and steal everything and let's see what he does. So people were very happy. Yes, this is real Guru's mission. So immediately when he was engaged, they went to his house and they saw this lady, she's sleeping. So they started collecting all the wealth from her body as well. So they took all the ornaments. But this lady was not actually asleep. She was a great devotee. So she felt, oh, these people are Ramanujacharya's people. There must be some problem at the ashram. There must not be money. They have come to steal. They have gone down so much that they had to steal. It's a really pitiable situation. Let them take everything. So she turned around so that they can take the other side. But because they thought she's got up, they ran and went to Ramanujacharya. And in the meantime, he came back. So Ramanujacharya asked, what happened? So he said, this is what happened. She got up. We took some wealth. So he said, now he has gone home. Go back and see again what happens. So when Dhanurdas came home, he saw. He said, why are you looking so funny today? Where is your ornaments from one side? You are wearing only on one side? You are looking very funny. So she said, no, no, that's not the case. I have not forgotten. You know, there is some problem in our Guru's ashram. So what is the problem? Because the disciples came to steal. And they stole everything from one side and they thought I am sleeping. I wanted them to steal from the other side. So I turned and they ran away. So when they heard this, their eyes were opened. They understood that this personality and his wife is much more advanced than what we thought, than what we envied him because of his high devotion to his spiritual master. So how Dhanurdas achieved this? Again, with that selflessness, that I am the property, my property, his property. Both husband and wife lived like that. I'll tell you the last story. There was another Brahmin. When Ramanujacharya was very old now, this Brahmin came and he said, I want to serve you. How can I serve you? So Ramanujacharya said, you are a Brahmin. I have decided that every day I will drink the water which has washed a Brahmin's feet. So this is your service from today, that you wash your feet and give me the water. So he said, okay. Now anyone will think, what is this nonsense? I cannot do this. He's testing me. But this Brahman was so simple and pure. He said, all right. And every day, Ramanujacharya would come and he said, where is the water? So he would wash his feet and give the water to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya would sprinkle on his body. And that's how his day would begin. He would not take lunch without that. So this was happening every day. The devotees, other devotees, they were very disturbed. What is happening? Why this is going on? Can't this fool understand what's going on? How can he give his washed feet water to Ramanujacharya? But then one day, Ramanujacharya forgot to come back to the ashram. And directly from the river, he went to one of the householder disciples' house, took lunch, and devotees were there gathered. And they started asking questions, so philosophical discussion started and went on till late in the night. And Ramanujacharya understood that now I must take rest. So late at night he comes back to the ashram and the Brahmin is standing there. He said, why are you standing here? He said, no, Gurudev, you did not come today to take the water. So where can I go? I have to wait here. Because you did not come, so he said, did you take your lunch? I said, how can I take my lunch without giving this water to you? I cannot take my lunch. So that's when everyone understood. Ramanujacharya, on that day, he actually took the water and drank it. He drank that water. So this is exemplifying that even if the service looks very odd, a devotee does it because he thinks that he is the property of his spiritual master. He is the property of Krishna. This is actual pridelessness. And that is our goal. If we achieve this, whatever we may feel inside, that's a different story. But if we are behaving in this particular way with purified intelligence, then naturally, Krishna, he will make our heart prideless. The soul will show his own quality of being prideless, being completely humble. And that is what the acharyas always pray. Let me be your property. And Ramanujacharya's life, his disciples' life, because Ramanujacharya himself lived like this. His disciples also lived like this. There are several stories, but we cannot take all the stories. Beautiful stories to illustrate this point that how a devotee, his only business in life is to serve his spiritual master. The order of the spiritual master is his life and soul. And on that basis, when he lives his life, then at the end of his life, he wakes up in the spiritual master, with the spiritual master in the spiritual world. That is what we can hear and understand from this particular shloka. That false pride brings our fall, and the true pride being the servant of Lord Chaitanya, being the servant of the spiritual master, being the servant of Radha and Krishna, that is our true pride. In that true pride, there is complete humility. We don't have to try for it. That's our natural quality. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we can take. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. Thank you for a nice class. Guruji, this question about pride, irrespective of how hard we try, philosophically and theoretically we know that, pride is not good. But whenever we perform some service, whatever that service may be, naturally it comes, it's just, externally we may show great humility and, press it down and tell everybody, no, Prabhu, I am your servant, it's all Guru's mercy. But still, inside like a monster, it is just completely overpowering you and you feel, see how nicely I did, So, how can we, when will it go? I'm not saying how can we, how can we overcome it and when will this go? Because it's a long time and that feeling doesn't go. In fact, it increases because seemingly we are doing bigger services and, people are admiring you for it and, you feel very proud because of it. Though you may not show it externally. So, when will this go and how will it go?
It's a difficult question. We are so... We hear that we should be prideless and we should be humble. When I'm saying we, I'm just trying to generalize the statement, but I'm going to speak for myself. The ears long to hear praise from somebody else. We want to hear, how wonderful devotee you are. How nicely you chant. How wonderful classes you give. What nice arrangements you made. So many things. We just want to hear one little bit thing. Our ears, we are all ears. Yes, this is me. Now he is understanding. Huh? You are my real friend. But the acharyas don't think like this. Nindakache ghar asave sezari. The Tukaram says this, I want somebody who is very, very critical to me as my neighbor. He should be always pulling me down. You know, husband, wife, generally wife does it for you. Huh? She is the personification. She is representative of the spiritual master. So she does it for you. For brahmacharis, it is other brahmacharis. They'll put you like, you know, Govind Prabhu, Gauranga. These people go, when they go abroad, it's like they are worshipped. But when they come here and the people, thousands of people are hearing, people are praising them, and they come here, okay, do your service, do this, do that. There's nothing. Here you are immediately put to the ground. So that association is very important. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's saying Pratishtha Shukare Revishtha. He's giving it name. It's a, when I'm feeling that I'm being praised, I'm getting some Pratishtha, it is nothing but Shukare Revishtha. That is recycled stool, as Maharaj says. The pigs, they eat stool and then they pass stool. So it is not even a fresh stool, it is a recycled stool. That is the nature of Pratishtha. So this is what we are aspiring for. Yes, I want this. But Acharya say, don't. And I think you came a little late, but we address this subject matter. That actually it is impossible for us even to detect where it is sitting. It is all pervading, we cannot see it. It is everywhere, but we cannot see it. The pride is so subtle. And the more years go in devotional life, you will understand that this question becomes practically useless. It becomes useless. How can I do this? How can I do this? The answer is purified intelligence. That means follow the orders of the spiritual master. Just live like that. What you feel is not important. Because if we don't act according to intelligence and act according to what we want, it's not actually we, it's our pride what wants like that, then we are treading a wrong path. Our path is of humility. Our path is of following the spiritual master's order. And in that, sometimes we may feel very proud, sometimes we feel very nice, humble, sometimes we may become proud of our humility. So many, it's a complex thing. Don't bother about it. Just serve properly, chant very sincerely, and whenever you detect it very grossly, take all your strength, take the association of the devotees, take help from everyone, and throw it out with all your might. This is the instruction of Radhanath Maharaj. Yes? We should stop. Yes? Can we take this person's question first? Yes.
We are all conditioned souls, and like according to Naishkarma philosophy, if we follow the Naishkarma philosophy, all this means what you told, pride and all this will go away if we follow Sadhu Shastra and Sangha. But then what are those Naishkarma activities? Like what we should do exactly, and how can we attain that stage of liberation in this present birth according to this lecture which you're giving?
Okay. Yeah, it's an important question. How to, practical side of it. Practical side is very simple. Mahajana Vena Gata Sapantha. We follow in the footsteps of the great devotees, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, all the acharyas, and the Mahajans which are present. Here there are many Mahajans sitting. Just follow in their footsteps. That's all. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, my name is Anand. I have a question. I really was enlightened with this topic on pridelessness and all that. Today what's happening in this world is everyone has got their own school of thought. Everyone is preaching their own philosophies. So outside when you go, we hear people preaching about Islam, other religions and all that. And in doing so, they undermine the philosophy that we follow. In fact, the other day I was just hearing a lecture wherein the person was criticizing Krishna a lot in his other pastimes and all that. And when we get into our discussions with these people, it becomes very difficult to control our pride and, you know, be humble. It always becomes, it's kind of one-upmanship. Like, my way is better than your way in that way. So in these situations, how to be very humble and still maintain pridelessness and at the same time not hurt the other people?
As long as we are representing what our acharyas have said, that is very good. As soon as we think that ours is the only way and others are absolute fools, and there are people who go to the extent of everyone else should be killed except us. To that degree you can go, your false pride can take you to that level. So that is total nonsense. It has no sanction from any scriptures, any religion. So pridelessness is like practically every religion, every dharma will tell you about this particular quality. And when you have that quality, you look at everyone with a different eye. They are servants of God, I am also servant of God, I should serve them, I should associate with them. So the discrimination has to come. You represent your own side, but at the same time, you are not hateful. Prabhupada criticized Mayavadis. He criticized, vehemently criticized. Philosophically wrote everything in the books, how to criticize, how we can actually nullify this Mayavad philosophy. Very strong against it. But at the same time, if a Mayavadi sannyasi came, he gave all respect. He treated them gently, kindly. So in his behavior, he showed a different thing. On his philosophical convictions, he represented his spiritual master. So this is what a devotee does. He simply is representative of the Lord through the spiritual master. And with that, if he is behaving, then naturally all the qualities will be manifested in that person. That's all we have to do. We don't have to actually think how I will do. Just think how Prabhupada would have done it. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sripad Ramanujacharya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.